I'd be running to get out of here too if you saw me up here. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day, for a beautiful morning, and God, just for this opportunity to be together as your people. God, to hear your word, to be able to offer up our praises and our prayers. So God, may your word be an encouragement to us, an admonishment if we need it, and may you be honored and glorified in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you have ever built a Lego set? Come on, yeah, don't be ashamed. There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, Lego sets, they've been around forever. My boys love them. When Matthew was really little, well, somewhat little, and he'd get a Lego set, he loved playing with them, but he didn't really have a lot of confidence in building them. And so I would always step in and help out. I tell you, I got pretty fast at building those things. And then, I don't know if it was birthday or Christmas. At that time, this was the queen mother of all Lego sets. The Millennium Falcon from Star Wars. Big Hurricane set. So, of course, he said, Dad, can you build this for me? Sure. No problem. So I get out the sets, and I'm just, and you got to start with a little core, and you kind of build all around it. So I'm just building away, kind of looking at the direction. Get about three quarters of the way through this, and I can't find a certain piece. And so, of course, my first thought is, God, those people at Lego, they didn't put the right piece in. Because it couldn't be my fault, right? And so I started going back through the directions. Now, this is after like an entire day of building. And I realized that I put the wrong piece right in the middle. Right at the very beginning. And I wish I could have just like popped a few pieces off and changed it. No, I pretty much had to take that whole blasted thing apart. As I'm looking at my son, just... But you know what? It reminded me, because I thought I was this veteran Lego builder, or master builder, as the movie would tell you. But I realized that I'd kind of missed some things at the very beginning. And that it was important for me to go back and kind of not just start over, but do it the right way. Look at the instructions, see what exactly I'm supposed to do. That was the last time I built a Lego set for my son, too. In our gospel today, Jesus is going to take us back to where it all begins for us. It's easy to kind of go on autopilot as a Christian and kind of forget that there's some pretty important things that we need to always kind of remind ourselves to go back to before we get too far. And so we're looking at Luke's, this is his first account of Jesus' appearance on Easter Sunday to the whole group of disciples. So let's start at the beginning here. If you're following along on your blue sheet, this is the first point. We must believe. That's where it all begins. About 18 years ago, maybe, I was at a synod assembly, ELCA Synod Assembly in Spokane. And I tell you, that had to be the most exciting weekend. Okay, no, it wasn't. It was dreadfully boring. And I was sitting at this thing just going, this is awful. I got to get out of here. So I decided to just walk around downtown Spokane thinking, if I can find a nice bookstore, I can grab a book, and that way I can at least go back and do something while I'm sitting there. So as I'm walking down the street, I'm looking all around. I can't find anything. And there's this young lady walking. She was the only one out there. And so I went up to her and I said, excuse me, are you from around here? And she said, yeah. And I said, well, I'm not. And I'm trying to find a good bookstore. Can you help me find one? And she looked at me with a look that said, either you're really stupid or that's the worst pickup line I've ever heard. And she didn't even say anything to me. She just looked at me and pointed. And right next to me on the side of the building was a huge sign that said Auntie's Bookstore. Oh my goodness. I felt so stupid. But you know, sometimes it's easy to miss the big sign. You know, even when it's just right in front of us. Here we have the disciples. They're locked in a room. The women that morning said they saw an empty tomb. A couple of the disciples went and checked it out and said, yeah, there is an empty tomb. And now two other disciples have come in and said, well, we were on the road to Emmaus, and we had a run-in with Jesus. And so as they're talking about this, it says that Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. Now, Amanda did a great job last week of kind of digging into just how important those words were. And it says they were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. A ghost. I don't know what's with these guys and thinking Jesus is a ghost. Because this isn't the first time. We find out earlier in the Gospels when Jesus was walking on water and the disciples are in the boat, they look and see him and say, it's a ghost. I don't know what's with these guys and always thinking Jesus is a ghost. So Jesus knows what they're thinking. So he says, why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your mind? Like, look, it's me, guys. They're freaking out. So he says, okay, touch me. You'll see, ghosts don't have flesh and bones. And by the way, Jesus is not affirming that ghosts are real. He's simply responding to their perception of them. But he says, look at my hands and my feet. Because he was still bearing the scars of the crucifixion. Look at me, touch me, feel me. And for me, this next line is incredible. It says, and while they still did not believe, are you kidding me? They've got Jesus standing there in bodily form, touchable, right in front of them. And they still don't believe it. And Luke says it's because they're so overjoyed and amazed. You got to be thinking they're going, nah, this is too good to be true. I don't believe it. So Jesus says, okay, calm down. Give me something to eat. I'll show you, because ghosts don't eat. And so they give him some broiled fish, which is a nice little detail, and he eats it. He says, it's me. I'm living. It's really me. Talk about missing the huge sign right next to them. But you know, it makes me think that if these guys can miss Jesus when he is standing physically, directly, right in front of them, how easy is it for us to miss Jesus, even though he's promised that he's right here with us all the time? You know, God's not hiding from any of us. I mean, imagine if we went into each day saying, God, where am I going to see you today? Because I know that you are here, that you are present all the time with me. Where am I going to see you? I bet you we'd see him all over the place. But so often, we're not even looking. It almost seems like we've become okay with missing the big sign. We kind of put our blinders on and say things like, oh, I'm too busy and there's too many other things going on, and we don't realize that Jesus is standing right there in front of us. In fact, I think a lot of times we go out each day not really believing that he's here. We're not really expecting him to show up. It's like we don't really believe it at all. So how can we expect to do great things for the kingdom of God, to live for Jesus, if we don't really believe he's here? So friends, we can't be missing the big sign that God puts in front of us all the time that says, I am here. I am always here. I will never leave you. So where does it all begin? Well, it all begins with believing. Believing that he is truly here. This leads to the next thing. What I would call the necessary work. This is not a work that we do. It's a work that Jesus does. I think for us to truly understand who Jesus is, for us to really grasp what he has done, there's something more that needs to happen. In verse 44, he said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. So immediately Jesus points them back to the scriptures, at the very beginning with the law, and moves through the prophets and the Psalms. Because the scriptures, as he's going to point out to them, all testified about him. That was all about Jesus. And here's the necessary work, verse 45. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. That's the necessary work. Now, just before this conversation they're having, these two disciples showed up and they said, hey, we were on the road to Emmaus, this guy appeared, and he said, hey, what you guys talking about? And they basically said to him, dude, where have you been? You've been living under a rock? How do you not know what all's been going on? And then Jesus went all the way back to the law and through the prophets and began explaining to them how the Messiah had to suffer and go through all that he did. And then later on, Jesus disappeared from their presence. As soon as they realized it was him, he was gone. And they said, didn't our hearts burn within us when he opened up the scriptures to us? These guys had just experienced that. But just like those disciples on the road to Emmaus, these disciples didn't understand the scriptures. These are scriptures that they had grown up with. They'd been hearing all their life. They'd gone to synagogue. They'd gone to Sunday school. But Jesus wasn't the Messiah that they had been taught about. He wasn't what they were expecting. So these disciples and generation after generation before them were hearing but never understanding. It wasn't until Jesus opened their minds that they could actually understand God's word. Now, I don't know about how all of you have come to know Jesus. That's one of the things I love, is God has a billion stories of how he came to people. For me, this story, this was it. This is exactly what happened for me. As an atheist, I had tried reading the Bible several times through my life, and I never got through much of it because it made no sense. I couldn't understand any of it. Jesus didn't make sense. What he said didn't make sense. The stories didn't make sense. Until that one day, when I was compelled to read the Gospel of Matthew, and I read the whole thing, and for the first time in my life, it made sense. Now, not to say I didn't have questions about it or that I was all of a sudden a world-class theologian, no, but I grasped for the first time who Jesus was and what he had done, and it just blew my mind. And I tell you, that day I gave my life to Christ. I surrendered to him, and then I just couldn't get enough of God's word because I could finally understand this. Now, was this my work? Was this something that I was able to just conjure up in myself? That at some point I found the secret button somewhere that boop, and then I could understand? No. This was all his work. Jesus opened my mind so that I could understand the scriptures. That's the necessary work. If we really want to be effective in the kingdom of God, we have to understand his word. We have to be in his word. You can't understand it if you don't read it. And I'm not saying it's easy. Oh, there's still a lot of questions I have. But God enables us to grasp his plan of salvation, to grasp his love that he demonstrated through Christ. And friends, don't you think that God wants you to understand his word? Of course he does. That's why I love this read through the Bible thing. I know a lot of you are doing this. Jenny Page did a poll last week on the church app to kind of find out how people were doing, and majority of people are doing great. They're sticking right with it. And then there's a pretty good chunk of people who said, I have fallen way behind. Let me encourage you. If you've fallen way behind, yeah, see, I see, yeah, see, I saw some of you are smiling going, oh, does he know that's me? Is he going to point me out? Or no, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, Diana. I just saw you smiling. So, look, if you've fallen way behind, jump right back in. Jump in where everyone is right now, that date, and just start over. And if you're confused about what's going on, check some resources. Go to, if you have a study Bible, go to the introduction and kind of see what's been happening so you're familiar. But get right back in there and just be praying, God, open my mind so that I can understand your word. Because it's real hard to be effective for Jesus if we don't even know what he said. So we must believe, we must have our minds opened to understand God's word. So what's next? Power. Now, power for what? Well, in verse 47, Jesus says, "Repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." So that's their charge, okay? That's the marching orders. That's kind of Luke's condensed version of the Great Commission, to go and make disciples of all nations. And these men have been prepped. Verse 48, Jesus says, "You are witnesses of these things." They had seen his life of love and service. They had seen his death. They had seen his resurrection. He's now standing right before them. He says, "Yes, you will be my witnesses, but there's still one thing remaining. There's still one thing. You're not quite ready yet." In verse 49, he says, "I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." So what was that promise then? Well, in John 14, Jesus tells us. He says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. He is the Spirit of truth. The world is unable to receive him because it doesn't see him or know him. But you do know him because he remains with you and will be in you." I believe Jesus was speaking here the day of Pentecost, which wasn't too far down the road from where we're at right now, when the Holy Spirit would come down upon these disciples with power and would ignite these disciples to take them from being disciples to being apostles, ones who are sent. And oh, they go out preaching with power, preaching repentance for the forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus Christ. And friends, this is a life-changing power when the Spirit hits you. We see this in our text from Acts chapter 3. Now, Peter is speaking. Y'all remember Peter. Okay, all through the Gospels, we see that Peter has this unique ability to, like, open his mouth as wide as possible to insert his entire foot in as far as he can. This is what he does. He says all sorts of goofy stuff throughout the Gospels. But listen to this. As he is speaking to the people, he says, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as all of you can see." And he goes on. Now I read this and I'm like, Peter? Is that you? This is a different man. This is not the same man we see in the Gospels. This is Peter speaking with the power of the Holy Spirit, and he knows this isn't his power. He recognizes that. He says, "No, this is the power of Jesus, because everything is about Jesus." Friends, if you're a follower of Christ, you got to be excited about doing this, about being like Peter, boldly speaking, boldly living. And the best part is you don't have to rely on your own strength and power to do it, because it's not you. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. Friends, if you don't believe that he is truly here and present with us, if you don't understand the Scriptures, if you're not even in the Scriptures, if you're not relying on the power of the Holy Spirit, it probably ain't going to happen. And maybe you're here this morning because you're tired. Maybe you've lost that zeal. Maybe you feel stagnant in your faith. Maybe you're brand new to the faith. Well, let's go back to where it all begins. We can't miss the big sign. He is always here. When you feel alone, when you feel weak, when you feel scared to boldly speak and boldly live in his name, When you're afraid that you might say or do the wrong thing, that you're just going to mess this whole thing up, know that Jesus is saying to you, I'm right here. I can deal with all that other stuff. Just remember, I'm right here with you all the time. He's saying, go to my word, because I will help you understand. I will open your mind so you can understand. And I've given you the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that empowered me in my life, in my ministry. And I'm giving him to you to accomplish all those things, those good things that I've already laid out before you to do. And just as he told his disciples, he says to us, in the words of Matthew 28:20, my favorite verse in the whole Bible, and surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Do we want to live for Jesus? Yes. Do we want to have an impact for the kingdom of God? Absolutely. This is where it all begins. Believe. Understand. Be empowered. Amen. Please stand as we join together in singing our hymn.